Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Nun Dalet. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the second of the five Shailas at Bayi Reish Lakish. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and also Lizech Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, her Neshama Shavin Aliyah. And we thank Dr. Lander for the continued sponsorship of the Daf. So yesterday we started asking a series of five different Shailas about special cases where a daughter might not be entitled to mizonos after the father dies, and the Gemara is going to leave all of these shailas off in a teiku. Then the Gemara is going to discuss cases where the almana might not be entitled to mizonos, and then the Gemara is going to talk about where the yorshim can pay the ksuba of the almana and stop providing her with mizonos, meaning we had machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah, whether they can initiate that process, just pay her a ksuba and then let her be on her own and not provide her with mizonos. So we're going to discuss the halacha, how we paskin and how there were different minhagim in different places. Then the Gemara is going to have machlokas when we're assessing the value of a woman's ksuba. Do we count as part of the payment of the ksuba the clothing that the husband bought her? She has all this clothing that the husband had purchased for her. Maybe that gets deducted from the price of the ksuba. Then the Gemara is going to tell at the end of the parak, we're going to finish the fourth parak today, three different stories about supporting the daughters and the almana, two of those stories are going to be how to account for price fluctuations from the time of the commitment to the time where something actually has to be paid. And then Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin the fifth parak of Maseches Ksubas, and the first Mishnah in the fifth parak is going to talk about the possibility of adding to the Ksuba, adding to the Mana Masayim, what we call Tosefes Ksuba, as well as subtracting from the Ksuba. The woman saying Ki'ilu Hiskabalti, and whether you're allowed to do that or not. And then the Gemara is going to get into, going way into tomorrow's daf, 14 ways that the Tosefes is treated just like the Ikar Ksuba. Meaning we don't just say he gives her more, but that he gives her an additional payment of Tosefes, but that he's Mosif, meaning not just that he's Kosev La, but that he's Mosif La. Kosev La would imply an independent payment. Mosif La implies that it's connected to the Mana Masayim. So there are 14 halachos about the Mana Masayim that are very much related to the Tosefes Ksuba as well. So let's begin again at the about five lines from the end of the page, six lines from the end of the page. Bayi Reish Lakish, I think that's where we left off. So Bayi Reish Lakish, Bas Yivama, let's say a person does Yibum, and then after he does Yibum, they have a daughter from that marriage. So Yesh Lo Mizonos, and then the Yavam dies. So now, does she get Mizonos from the Nechasim of the father that the brothers at Yarshind away in the Mizonos? So does she not get Mizonos? What are the Tzadim? So Kivin, Damamar Ksuba Sa'al Nechsei Baila Arishon, since we say the halacha is that the first husband's estate is responsible for paying her ksuba, so so maybe the Yavam should not be responsible for paying the mizonos. The Yavam's estate shouldn't be paying the mizonos because it's a Tanai ksuba, and the ksuba is not his problem. The ksuba is for the first husband. Odilma, the kivan di ilesla meirishon tokinu l'rabbanim isheni, maybe we could say that since the halacha is that if the first husband's estate does not have adequate funds to pay for the ksuba, so then it goes on the second husband's estate, on the Yavam's estate. So Islas, maybe therefore she should have Mizonos from the Nechasim of the Yavam. So Teku, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. The Rif writes that since it's a Teku, the Halach is Ein La Mizonos, because any time you have a Safik Mamon, we go L'chumra. What does it mean we go L'chumra? Whatever's a Chumra for one person is a Kula for the other one. It means that you can't force him to pay. We're not Motzi Mamon, we Safik, it means a Motzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. And that's going to be the same with all of the sfeikos that we're about to bring up in the Gemara. Beis Yosef quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, though, that since it was a teiku, im tafsa ein motzi in miyada, that if she goes and grabs the money, then we're not going to be able to take it away from her because she may be entitled to it. So we leave it completely unresolved. Now, a third shaila, bai Rav Lazar, bas shnia. Let's say a person marries a woman who mida oraisa would have been mutaris to him, but is aser midivrei sofrim, because it's one of the shnios la'arayos. So the halach is that shnios la'arayos are not entitled to a ksuba, but then they have a daughter and the husband dies. So yesh la'mazonos ve'en la'mazonos. Is that daughter entitled to mazonos? What are the tzadim? Kiven to las l'ksuba las l'mazonos. Since the mother wasn't entitled to a ksuba, maybe the daughter should not be entitled to mazonos. Odilma ima da'av the isura kansur rabbanan. The mother didn't have era. She got involved in a marriage she wasn't allowed to get involved in. So the Rabbanan made a knas that she doesn't get a ksuba. But ihi delo av the isura. What did the daughter do wrong? She was just brought into this world through this forbidden marriage. But she did nothing wrong. So lo kansur rabbanan. Maybe the Rabbanan never made a knas on her. So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. The Meiri raises the question that we just had on yesterday's daf, that when it comes to ksubas bin adikrin, that if a woman is married al pi eid echad, that the husband had died. Meaning one eid comes and says the husband dies, and then she goes and she gets remarried based on that eid echad, and then the husband comes home. So we said teitze mizeh umizeh, and she doesn't get a ksuba mizeh umizeh, and the children are not yorish the ksubas bin adikrin. So apparently the children are not yorish the ksubas bin adikrin, even though she's the one that did something wrong. She went and she got remarried without adequate proof that the husband was dead. The whole point of relying on Eid Echad is only with the assumption that she's going to do some independent research and she's going to be confident that the husband is dead. And over there, the children did nothing wrong and they lose out. So asks the Meiri, why over here are we saying such a svara that the daughters did nothing wrong when it comes to Shneos La'arayos and therefore they shouldn't lose the Mizonos? How come the Ksubas bin Adikrin lose over there when they did nothing wrong? It's the mother who decided to go and get remarried. So the Meiri suggests that there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. In the case where the woman went and got remarried, she was the one who did something wrong by not being careful enough in her research. The man who married her didn't do anything wrong. There was an Eid Echad, and the halach is with an Eid Echad, you're allowed. There's no chazaka that he's going to do the research. The assumption is she's going to do the research. So it makes sense that we're going to make a knas on the children, and at the same time, there's another factor that we have rachmanas on the father that did nothing wrong. But when you marry a shnios la'arayos, they're both doing an avera. So maybe we shouldn't be chas on his nechasim either. So not only do we have the svara that we don't want to be kones the daughters because they did nothing wrong, we're also not so hesitant about taking money away from the father because he did something wrong. He went and he married this girl. So it's both factors. It's both that the children did nothing wrong, and also that we're not so hesitant about the father having to pay money because he did something wrong. But if the father didn't do anything wrong, maybe that brings us a little more hesitation about obligating him to pay money, and maybe that's why they're not entitled to the ksubas bin adikrin in yesterday's daf. Bai Rava, a fourth shayla. Arusa yesh lamazonos ve'en lamazonos. What if they only had erusin and then they had he was boel her bebeis chamav, meaning they shouldn't have done that, but they had a child while they were still be'erusin, and the shayla is that child entitled to mazonos or not entitled to mazonos? Kivan de isla ksuba, do we assume that since an arusa is entitled to the manam asayim of a ksuba, so isla, so the daughter from that marriage is entitled to mazonos, odilma kivan de lotakin rabban ksuba ad shas nisu in lesa, or maybe since the rabban were not misakein to actually write a ksuba until the time of nisuin, so she's not entitled to mazonos, because just like they were not misakein to write a ksuba until the time of nisuin, so too they were not misakein t'nai ksuba until the time of nisuin. So this shaila again is teku. The Gemara leaves this shaila unresolved as well. The Ritva explains that even though the chacham were misakein that she has a ksuba, but they were not misakein to write a ksuba and to make the ksuba a focal point until the time of nisuin. So it could be the t'nai ksuba are also only going to kick in at the time of nisuin. So shittim kvetzes calls the Talmid Rabbi Yonah, who asked the question that according to that the Gemara should have said kivin lo takin rabbanon limichtav ksuba. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that kivin lo takinu rabbanon ksuba. So they quote the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that even though she has ksuba mishas erusin, but the rabbanon were not misakin achrayus ad shas nisuin, because Shimon ben Shetach was the one that was misakin that all of the nechasim that the husband owns are achrayi for the ksuba, are like an aray for the ksuba, and he was only only misakin that mishas nisuin, because certainly they would write a ksuba right at the outset at the erusin, but not all the nechasim were achrayin for the ksuba until Shimon ben Shetach came and was misakin achrayis for the ksuba, and he was only misakin that mishas nisuin ve'elach. So therefore, the Gemara is mesupak if mizonos is also only mishas nisuin, meaning it doesn't go along with the takana Shimon ben Shetach. So not like Rashi. So the way Rashi understands is that they didn't actually write a ksuba until the time of nisuin. It's just that Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah points out the Gemara didn't say that. So maybe what the Gemara means is lo tekin rabban ksuba, they were not masakin achrayus for the ksuba until the time of nisuin, and that's the tzad to say that mizonos doesn't kick in till the time of the nisuin. And then a fifth and final shaila. Bayra papa bas anusa, a person who is ma'anes a girl and then he marries her because lo tia liisha, so he has to marry her and then they have a daughter. So yesh la mizonos or yin la mizonos, is that daughter entitled to mizonos or not? So according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there's no shayla. Tami yesh la ksuba mana. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though the ma'anes, the person who's ma'anes, this woman had to already pay the kesef knas to the father, he still is on the hook for ksuba in addition to that, so that's no shayla. He still has a chiv ksuba, so there's still going to be a chiv mizonos. Kiti bayalach alibid rabbanan. Da amri yotza kesef knasa b'ksubasa. The shayla is within the sheet of the rabbanan that say that because he paid the knas, that covers for the price of the ksuba. He no longer is obligated in the ksuba. So my, now that he's not obligated in the price of the ksuba, is he obligated in the mizonos of his daughters? Kivin, the less the ksuba, less the mizone. On the one hand, do we say that since there's no ksuba, there's no chiv mizonos? Oh, Dilma, ksuba time am I. Why is it that the rabbanan were misakein to give a ksuba to the woman? Kadesh lo tehei kala be'ena of lotzia, in order that it shouldn't be easy for him to divorce her because it's going to cost him the ksuba. But over here, he can't divorce her anyway, because the pasuk says velosia li isha tachas hasharina lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. He has an isha midaraisa to divorce her. So there's no need to make a takanas ksuba shlote kalabed of lotzia. But what's that got to do with the mizonos? That explains why they weren't misakin ksuba. So maybe that's what they weren't misakin a ksuba. But a tanai ksuba, like the chi of mizonos, has nothing to do with kalabed of lotzia. So maybe that he's still on the hook for. Teku, so the Gemara leaves this shaila unresolved as well. The Rishon and Paskin in all of these feikos that the bundles do not get mizonos because it's a suffek. The Rif writes that this is dafka la'achar misas ha'av, though. While the father is still alive, then he has to provide them with mizonos until they're 6 years old. That's what the Rambam Paskins in the 19th paragraph of Chassidus as well. Bechaye avien, he's chayiv in the mizonos, just like all the other bundles and bundles bechaye avien. So in all these cases, he'd be chayiv in the mizonos while he's alive. The whole shayla is only after he dies, and in all these cases, we leave it off as a teku. Okay, now we move on. The Mishnah said, Ate yosla bevesi, that one of the Tanai Ksuba is that you get to live in my house after I die, and you'll get provided for from my nechasim, kol yimei megar al menusayich, the entire time that you are an almana. Zoom countdown. Okay. The entire time that you're in Almana Bebesi, and you'll get mizonos from in the chasim all the times of the entire time that you're in Almana. So says the Gemara in the Mishnah, it says that they wrote twice Bevesi, that you'll be Yasva Bevesi, call you may Megar Almanusayich Bevesi. So Tani Rav Yosef, Bevesi velo bevikti, that we darshan from the word Bevesi that it's only in his house, but not bibikti. What does bibikti mean? So bikti means if he has like a little hut, he doesn't really have a house. So if there's no room for the yisomim and for the almana to live in the house, because all he has is a little hut, then it doesn't count. Avul mizoni isla, but even though there's no room for her to live in the house, and therefore she's not going to live in the house, she is still going to be entitled to mizonos. So Mabar Avashi Amar, afil mizonos nami lesla. No, she's not even entitled to mizonos. Meaning this is the beginning of what the Gemara is doing, is coming up with cases where the almana might not be entitled to mizonos. So the first case is in a case where she's not going to be living in the bayis, because there is no bayis. All there is a little hut. They have a little tent that doesn't even have room for all of the yisomim, let alone the almana to be together with all the yisomim. So the shaila is, now she's not going to be entitled to live in the house. Is she also not entitled to mizonos? So that is That's the machlokas over here. Says Gemara Velesuk Sakamar Baravashi. We don't pass like Gemara Baravashi, even though she's not living in the house, she still does get the mezonos. Amram Nachman Mishmuel Tavuali Nasi bin Espaisa. If let's say I'll give you another case where maybe she loses the mezonos. Someone proposed marriage to her and she accepted, saying the mezonos. She right away loses the mezonos from her husband's estate because he said that Kol Yimei Meger Al Menusayich, meaning so long as you're still considered an almana. But once you're already engaged to be married to somebody else, you're not considered an almana. That's what Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva of Nezer Chel Galb Sim Kuf Mem, that people no longer call her almanas ploni. No one knows her as the almana of so and so. They think of her as the kala of so and so, as the kala of the new of the mishudach that she's mishudachas to, and therefore it's she loses the rights to the mezonos. Halonas by siyesh the mezonos. But the implication is that if she didn't agree to the proposal of marriage, she still would be entitled to mezonos, even though the reason that she didn't agree was she just didn't like the guy. But she is on the market. She has a whole, shidduch profile and everything. Sorry, just trying to get the zoom back on. She has a whole, even though she clearly is interested in getting remarried, she still would be entitled to mezonos. So Amar Avan LeDimim Farsh LeMinei Demar Shmuel Amra Machmas Ploni Bali Yesh LeMezonos. No, if she says the reason I'm turning down your proposal for marriage is because I have a husband and I still miss him very much and therefore I'm not ready to move on yet, so then she's entitled to mezonos because that's she's still the Almanas Ploni and that's why she's not moving on yet. But Machmas Ploni Adam Shenu Muganim La Ein LeMezonos. If she says that it's because of Bnei Adam Shenem Uganim La, it's because of people that, look, I haven't found the right guy yet, but I am on the market and I am looking, then she loses the rights to mezonos. Amar Rav Chisda, Zinsa in the mezonos. A third case where maybe an almana doesn't get mezonos. Again, the first case was that there's no room in the bayis, so she's not going to be in bayis. Second case is she's ready to move on and she's dating already, or perhaps even mishudeches already. Third case, if she was mizana, she does not get mezonos from her husband's estate. Amar Rav Yosef kichla upirkisa ein lamezonos. Rav Yosef adds another case of kichla upirkisa. She starts getting dressed up nicely to be attractive to other people, so she's being megala that she's back on the market, and that the reason she's not married is not because of kavod baila. It's because she hasn't found the right person. So mandi amar zinsa. The Rav Chisda who said that if she's mizana, she loses the rights to mezonos, even though she never made it clear that she wants to get remarried. She just did it, she had a taiva, so she went and she was mezana. Well, then kolshkin kichlo pirkusa. Then for sure, if she's making it clear that she's interested in getting remarried, that she would lose the rights to mezonos. Losing the rights to mezonos is not a function of avera. It's not a matter of whether she's doing something wrong or right. It's a function of how connected is she to her deceased husband. So if she's mezana, she's more connected to her deceased husband than a woman who's already dating to get married to somebody else. That's less of a connection to the deceased husband. So Mandi Amar Kichlo Pirkasa, the one that says Kichlo Pirkasa, sorry, I just feel bad for all these people on the Zoom. The one that says Kichlo Pirkasa, it's just not working. The one that says Kichlo Pirkasa, Aval Zinsa Isla, but if she was Mizana, then she is entitled to Mizanos. My Taima, Yetzaransa. She just had a Yetzarara, so that's why she was Mizana, but it's not a sign at all that she's moving on from the first marriage. So Gemara Paskin says, how do we Paskin? Lech Siksa Kalani Shmeitza. We don't Paskin like any of these statements if she had agreed to a proposal of marriage, or she was Mizana, or Kichlo Pirkasa. So that ain't the mezonos. In all those cases, she still gets mezonos. Eloki hadam Rav Yom Shmuel tovask subas bebeis din ein lamezonos. The only way she's going to lose her mezonos is if she's toveya her ksuba in beis din. Only then she loses her mezonos. So says Gemara, velo, really? When she's toveya her ksuba in beis din, she loses her mezonos? Vatanya, didn't the Braisa tell us machra ksubasa umashkna ksubasa? If she sold her ksuba, she gave it as a mashkon, as a karka that was designated to her ksuba as a mashkon to her balchov, or asa ksubasa aputiki liacher. She made the karka that was designated for ksuba an aputiki to a balchov that he'll always be able to collect from that karka, then ein la mezonos, because she did that. She's showing it as if she's already collected her ksuba, and that's why she loses the rights to mezonos. Yeah, but honey, in those cases where it's ki'ilu, she's already collected the ksuba, she doesn't get mezonos. Aval tovas, lo, but yeah, that would be great, thanks. But if she's tovea the ksuba, then... Thank you very much. Sorry, everybody. Aval tovah asol, but if she was tovah the ksuba, then she would alone without actually collecting the ksuba, then she would not be entitled to the mizonos. She would get, she would not lose the mizonos. Rather, she would still be entitled to the mizonos. So says the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. No, don't make such a diuk from the brisa. Hani bein bebezin bein shalom bebezin tovas bebezin in shalom bebezin lo. That in these cases the brisa spoke about where it's ki'ilu she's already collected the ksuba, so that's going to be true whether it was in Beis Din or not in Beis Din. But when it comes to being Toveh the Ksuba, if she's Toveh the Ksuba in Beis Din, that's her saying that she's ready to move on. But Shalom Beis Din, then she would not, she's not really ready to move on, and she's still going to be entitled to Mizonos. So those are the many cases where an Almana may no longer be entitled to Mizonos. V'kach hayu Anshe Yerushalayim. So now the Gemara moves on to discuss, we said in the Mishnah that the Anshe Yerushalayim would write that but the Anshe Galil would say like the Anshe Yerushalayim, the Anshe Yehuda would say that up until the Yorshim want to pay your ksuba, and as soon as the Yorshim want to pay your ksuba, then you're finished with the mizonos. See it? My Rav Amar Alacha Anshe Yehuda, Ushmuel Amar Alacha. Sorry about that, everybody. So Rav Amar Alach Anshe Yehuda, Rav says that the Alach Pasch is like the Anshe Yehuda, that everything is totally in the Yarshin, and if they want to pay her ksuba, they're part of the Mizonos. And Shmuel Amar Alach Anshe Galil, that we pasch like the Anshe Galil. We're about halfway down the page, for all those who have been out for the last 5 minutes. We're about halfway down the page from the Dalai Mouth after two dots. So we said, Itma, Rav Amar Alach Anshe Yehuda, Rav pasch like the Anshe Yehuda, that if they, that the Yarshim have the right to say, we're paying your ksuba, and now we're not going to pay your mizonos anymore. Ushmol Amar Lach Kanshe Galil. Ushmol says, no, we do like the Anshe Galil, that is totally on the Almana. They can't force her to take her ksuba and therefore absolve themselves of the requirement to give her mizonos. Bavel, the called Parvahada, Bavel and all the suburbs of Bavel, no, Kirav. They did like Rav, like the Anshe Yehuda. Narda, the called Parvahada, but Narda and all of its suburbs, no, Kishmol. They passed them like the Anshe Yerushalayim, like the Anshe Galil, they did like Shmuel. Sahi Bas Mechuzah, there was a girl from Mechuzah, which was one of the cities, one of the suburbs of Bavel, Davis Nesivil in Narda, who was married to a guy from Narda. Sasla committed Rav Nachman, they asked Rav Nachman what to do. Do we do like Bavel or do we do like Narda? Can the Yorshim force her to take her ksuba and therefore not have to pay Mizonos anymore? So Shamal Akala Dabas Mechuzah, Rav Nachman heard her accent, and he was able to tell that she was from Mechuza. So Amar Lahu, Bavel v'kol Parvada no Kurav. So he says, oh, from where you're from, they do like Rav. So Amar Lahu, Val Narda Nesiva. They said, yeah, but she was married to a guy from Narda. So Amar Lahu, conked out here also. All right, it's not, I guess the Wi-Fi must be a problem with the Wi-Fi.
Should be on cell.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not working. So Amar Lahu, so he said, Ihachi, Narda v'kol bravahada no kishmuel. So he said, if that's the case, then Narda and all of the suburbs of Narda are doing like Shmuel, and therefore, since the guy that you married is going like Shmuel, so you follow the shita of Shmuel, like the Anshe Galil, that they cannot force her to accept her ksuba. Va'ad hecha Narda, and how far do the suburbs of Narda reach? Ad hecha desagi kabed de Narda, wherever they use the measuring instruments of Narda, meaning when they say a kab, do they mean the kab in the measurements of Narda? So as long as they're using their metric system, so then you know that that's still part of Naharda. Period. So now the Gemara moves on to discuss a machlokas, whether we count the clothing that the woman has as part of the payment for the ksuba. Seitmar almana, Rav Amar Shaman Masha Aleha. We evaluate the clothing that's on her. Lav Dafka Masha Aleha. That's the Meiri points out. Any clothing that she has, she doesn't have to be wearing it. The Ran writes the name of the Gaonim that Dafka Malbushim, that the Gemara says that it's only he was only makneter the Malbushim so that she could can so that she can be tetzit with it. But if he gives a matana to it, meaning so that she could appear presentable as his wife. But if he gives a matana to his wife, so then it's clearly his wife's. So it's clearly not something that still belongs to him that's going to count as payment for a ksuba if he bought his wife some other type of gift. But the malbushim is the shaylu. Shmuel Amar ain shaman mashallah. Shmuel says we do not assess the malbushim as part of the ksuba payment. So Amar of Chia bar Avin v'chilufa belakit, that even though we said this when it comes to the clothing of a wife, the opposite is true by someone who you hire to work who lives in the house of the balabayas and he's a house servant or something, and you provide him with some clothing while he's living in the house. There's also machlokas Rav Shmuel, but the shitos are flipped. When he leaves the job, do you assess the begadim as part of his payment? So according to Rav, the balabayas does not assess the begadim as part of his payment. That it's only by an almana where we consider it part of the payment of the ksuba, because he clearly only wanted her to have that nice clothing while she's still married to him. But a sachir who today is here and tomorrow he's not here, so he always knew he wasn't sticking around for very long. You don't have employees forever, so clearly if you gave him clothing, you wanted him to have that clothing forever, and it has nothing to do with a matana gemura. Whereas Shmuel would say, no, when it comes to a sachir, we're going to assess the clothing as part of the payment, because it's only by an almana where he takes care of all of her expenses that he gives her the begadim as a matana as well. But a sachir, where it's not his responsibility to provide him with clothing, then he doesn't give him a matana. Clearly the begadim are something that's part of the payment. Rav Kana masni v'chein belakit. Rav Kana taught that not that the opposite is true by a lakit, that they flip their shitos by a sachir, but adrabah, that it's the same. Umanuch basimana, and he gave a simon, Rav gave a simon to his shita, that yasma v'armalta, a lakit, and an almana, shalach upuk. They have to take off their clothing and then they can leave the home. Meaning we assess the clothing as part of the payment. Not that we're actually going to send them out naked. They're allowed to have the clothing, but that clothing is going to be considered part of the payment. If they want to get the full payment, then they would have to remove the clothing. Even though we said in our Mishnah, like Shmuel, that an almana, you do not assess the clothing as part of the payment. Nevertheless, we pass on like Rav. Meaning, even though there's a Mishnah that seems to be a riot to Shmuel, we don't pass on that way. We pass on like Rav. Where's the Mishnah that seems to be a riot to Shmuel? It's not. It's a Mishnah in Eruchin. Echad ha-makdish nechasov, echad ha-maruches atzmo. Whether a person is makdish all of his nechasim to Bet HaGabayis, or whether a person says, Erki Alai, I'm going to pay my Erech to Hegdish, and the Gizbar comes to take a mashkin from his nechasim, so ein lo, lo b'ksus ishto, the Gizbar is not allowed to take as a mashkon for the payment of the Erech his wife's clothing, v'lo b'ksus banav, nor his children's clothing, because that doesn't belong to him. V'lo b'tzavet shatzav l'shman, and the nor begadim that he was tzoveya, that he had colored and he had dyed for the sake of his wife and his children, v'lo b'sandalim chadashim shalakal l'shman, nor new shoes that he bought for his wife and his children. What do you see from this Mishnah? That clothing that he bought for his wife is hers, it's not his, and therefore the Gizbar is not allowed to take it. So don't you see, like Shmuel, that this is not going to be considered payment for her ksuba? It was hers, it already belongs to her. Wait a second. If you're going to tell me that we have a Beferish Mishnah that goes like Shmuel, why on earth would you pass them like Rav? You should pass them like the Beferish Mishnah. It's not that it's a Beferish Mishnah like Shmuel, it's that if you learn it on a very surface level, it seems like it's going like Shmuel. But kimi antaba hilsa kavasei derav. When you're ma'ayin in that Mishnah, you'll see that that Mishnah is no raya to Shmuel, and therefore we paskin like Rav. Ma'ay taima. What is the reason that the Mishnah is not a raya to Shmuel, and we evaluate that which he's wearing? It says in the Mishnah that a gizbar is not able to collect from the ksus of the woman. The reason is because if the woman is niskarish or the husband dies, it's pashut that the begadim belong to the husband. And ki aknila, when the husband is makna her begadim, it's only a daitel to make him kamei. It's aldas that she'll stay with him and that she's not going to leave him to be mischabid with such clothing. She's going to go around with this fancy clothing when she's no longer married to him. That he has no interest in. So, but a daitel mishkol lemeipat lo aknila, but aldas to take them and to go. He was never makna that clothing to to her, and therefore when he dies, she's it's ki'ilu, the marriage is over, she's leaving him, and that's when we're shamin es ha-begadim, that's when we assess the begadim as part of the payment of the ksuba. But in the Mishnah and Erechin, it's about being maktish and marich, where they're still alive and they're still married, so then the begadim are hers, meaning so long as they're still married, the begadim are fully hers. But it's when the marriage is over, where she goes, she gets to leave with it, that's a different story. That's when we're going to be shamin es ha-begadim. So we could paskel like Shmuel, even though we paskel like that Mishnah. Kalsa debay bar Eliyashiv, the daughter-in-law of the family of Eliyashiv, have a katava ksuba sumiyasmi, was tovea ksuba, claimed the money, a ksuba payment from the Yisamim, avakamamti luhu lebeidina, and she summoned them to a beis din to get paid for a ksuba. So Amri, the Yisamim said, zilla milsa tizli hachi, you know, if you're going to come to the beis din, you should dress up nicely. It's disrespectful for you to come to the beis din not dress nicely. So azul she took out her finest clothing that her husband had bought her, and she wore it to the Beis Din to go to be Tovea the Ksuba. So also came to Ravina. They were stood in Beis Din, and Ravina's Beis Din. So Ravina said, you are entitled to your Ksuba, and it looks like you're wearing it, meaning whatever clothing you're wearing gets assessed as part of the Ksuba, and therefore you're not going to get much more money than that. The Rishonim point out, the Ra, the Ritva, the Rush, that I'm sorry, the Rashi and others, I don't think that they all point out that it's a lot dafka that she has to be wearing the clothing. They just wanted to make it very obvious that she had, meaning lest she claim that she didn't have any clothing, so they tricked her into wearing the nice clothing. But so, as long as she has it in her closet, it would be shamanla. We'd already make the assessment. So now the parak concludes with three stories. Ha'ud amalahu, a person said to his children in his tzava'a when he was dying, nidunya lebras, the begadim and the takshitim should go to his daughter, and he gave a certain amount of money of value of those levushim and takshitim, zal nidunya, and then it went down in value. When he set the nidunya, it was worth X amount, and now it went down in value. So the question is, do they have to pay the value of, meaning it was $10,000 worth of stuff at the time that he said it. But now that he's gone, that same stuff is only worth $8,000. So do they have to pony up $10,000 to pay for what the amount of money that he wanted it to be given to the daughters? Or is it no? The actual items that he identified have to be given to the daughters. Some Ravidi Baravin. Ravidi Baravin says, Purniliyasmi, that we don't say that you give the daughters the value of the nedunya based on the day of the tzava'a, that how much it was worth that day. You give them the nedunya based on what it's worth right now, and the yisomim, therefore, are going to benefit because they're not going to have to pay as much, meaning they're only going to have to pay what the nedunya was as it's worth right now. The Rishonim will point out, and hu adin if it went in the other direction, if it was nisyakera nedunya, that it went up in value, and now the yisomim are going to have to buy this stuff for more expensive, so they have to do that. Then the yisomim are going to lose out. Meaning, we look at the items that he identified, not the value, not their value at that time. Similarly, ha'udamalu, a person also was dying, said to his children before he died, arba me'azuzi min chamra lebras, that I want to give 400 zuz of wine from my nechasim to my daughters for their nedunya. Ayakar chamra, then wine went up in value. Some Rav Yosef Rav Kali asked me, so they don't have to give as much wine. They only have to give $400 worth of wine. I just got this shayla the other day, just on Shabbos. Someone came over to me and told me that someone had made a donation to our shul of $5,000 of svarim. Said, buy a really nice set for $5,000. So he said he bought that big set of masiftas, and it was $4,500. So he told the person it was only $4,500. So at the time they said, okay, so for the extra $500, buy sidurim. You know, whatever you have left over, you know, buy sidurim chamashim, something like that. So he said he went online at the time to order sidurim, and he saw whatever sidurim were, let's say $20 a piece, and then he got lazy about it. He didn't order it right away, and now it's a few months later. We've had these masiftas for a little while, and he realizes that he hasn't. And he went online to order sidurim, and now they're $40 a piece. Supply chain, whatever, you know. So the shaila is, does he owe sidurim at $20 a piece for $500? Does he owe sidurim at $40 a piece? So it's mamish, this shaila, right? If the prices change, do we go with the, based on the original, on what it was worth at the time, the original commitment? Or do we say, no, the person said, $500 a sidurim, just buy $500. I think in that case, it's possible that the person had no number of sidurim in mind, that they just said $500 a sidurim, and that's all he has to he has to buy. Kreved Rabbi Yochanan havelei itas abba. A third story: a karov of Rabbi Yochanan had a their father had a wife, Davis Kamavsti Mizoni, who ate a ton, or she had very expensive tastes or something, and they were just nervous that she was going to eat them out of house and home. You know, they're not going to have anything left. So also the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, "What do we do about this woman?" So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Izilu v'amru le'avuchan d'niyachid la'aru l'mizone. Go tell your father that he should be miyached in his tzavas shchivmer." I mean, the father wasn't dead yet, so go tell him that he should be miyached a particular karka that's going to provide her for mizonos, and that way she'll be limited that she can only collect mizonos from that karka. She won't be able to collect from anywhere else. Tosfos raises the question that wasn't Rabbi Yochanan the one that said that he felt bad about giving advice to his own relative. Because even though we b'sarach lo tisalim that nadam chashav shiny, so the Rishonim all say, yeah, but over here he wasn't doing anything wrong, meaning it wasn't something that was really against that. It wasn't really a trick. It was just what he thought the basic halacha was, something like that. There are like the different answers the Rishonim give to deal with that problem over here. But that was the advice that he gave. So they went and they asked the father to be miyachid karka for the mizonos. Also, the committee Reish Lakish, they came to Reish Lakish afterwards. Amaluhu kolshkein sheribala mizonos. So Reish Lakish said, not only is everything, do you have to pay the regular mizonos, now if you fall short of paying, she'll take that karka too. Meaning it's not that she's getting less because she's only getting from the karka, she's getting more. So Amalei, they said to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hachi, that's not the way Rabbi Yochanan told it to us. He told us that only she's only going to get from the karka. So Amalehu, Zilu Havula, Reish Lakish says, you listen to my psak, V'ilam Afikun Chur Rabbi Yochanan V'inaychu. And if you don't listen to my psak, I'm going to put you in chayrim, you're not going to be able to talk to Rabbi Yochanan anymore. So also the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan and they said, what happened over here? So Amalu, Ma'asa, Shekinegdi Cholakalai. What happened is there's a machlokas, Reish Lakish disagrees with me. So you got to follow the psak of the basin that you go to. So Amar Rabbi Yavol, the Didim, Parshal Menei Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Limizonos, Riba Lamizonos. If he says that the karka is Limizonos, then it implies that if there's not going to be enough, then you could take from the karka as well. Amar Bimizonos, but if you say the karka is bimizonos, then it's this karka is all they could collect from and not from anywhere else. Hadron Lachnari, now we begin the fifth parak of Meseches Ksuvah. So the Mishnah tells us, even though we say that a ksubas basul is masayim and almana gets a mana, im ratza lahosef afilu mea mana, Yosef. If you want to add tosefes ksuba, you could add way more in the tosefes ksuba. That's our minug. We add mea zukukim kesef tzaruf. It's worth way more than the masayim. So you could add as much as you want to the ksuba. Nis armla on nis garisha bein mineiris and bein nisuin, gove es hakol. She becomes an almana or a grusha. Whether it's from erisin or whether it's from nisuin, she collects not only the ikur ksuba, but the tosefes ksuba as well. Rabbi Lozman Azari Omer Minani Suin Gove Esakol. No, only if she becomes an almana or a grusha after they already had nisuin, only then does she collect both the ikur and the tosefes ksuba. But Mina Erisin, but if they get divorced or the husband dies after Erisin before the nisuin, then Basula Gove Masayim, then a Basula would collect 200 zuz, almana mana, the almana collects the 100 zuz, that is only the ikur ksuba, but they do not collect the Tosefes Ksuba, Shlo Kosovla Ella Almanas Lakonsa. The only reason he's adding extra into the Ksuba is because he wants to have Nisuin with her. So his Kavana is to be Chayiv in this Tosefes only from the time of Nisuin, not prior to the time of Nisuin. So that's Machlokas. Is he on the hook for the Tosefes from the time of Erisin or only from the time of Nisuin? Another Machlokas. What if instead of adding to the Ksuba, they want to subtract from the Ikr Ksuba? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Imratza, if the Baal wants to pay a little less and the woman's okay with that, Kosiv Lubsu the Starshal Masayim, you could write a standard Masayim Zuz Ksuba. V'ikoseves is kabalti machmana, and she says I already received. She could write to him a receipt that she already got half of the money. Ulal mana mana v'ikoseves is kabalti machamishum zuz. He could write a ksuba of a mana for an almana, and she can write back a receipt that I already received chamishim zuz, even though she didn't. Rabbi Meir Omer kala pochis l'besul mimasayim ulal mana mimana harezu bilasnis. Says no, if you're giving anything less than masayim to a besula or mana to an almana, it's a bilasnus. You're not allowed to give a ksuba of less than that, even through such a harama of her writing a receipt. It has to be, meaning kadesh lo tekala ben velotzia, has to be in this amount of money. It can't be in smaller amounts of money. So first the Gemara just raises the question, Pshita, we said that if you want to add to the Ksuba, you can add to the Ksuba. Of course you can. You can give whatever you want to whoever you want. You can write the shtar that you want to give someone, $100,000 a year just because you like them. You can do whatever you want. So why would you think that you shouldn't be allowed to add to the Ksuba? So it says Gemara, no, mal detema kitsusa of the Rabbanan, shil levayishus mishainlo. I might have thought that the Rabbanan Dafka made a specific amount not to embarrass those who don't have. So they said, don't do more than Masayim, because not everyone could afford to give more than Masayim. And sometimes Rabban do that. Most famously, Tainis Tav Chavav and Yom Kippur and Chamisha Asar Ba'av. They would wear clay love, and the girls would wear clay love and Shu'ulin. They would borrow white clothing. Why would they borrow white clothing? Because they Shlo Levayish, as Mishayinlo. So they do that sometimes. They have such takanas. Shlo Levayish, Mishayinlo. So I might have thought over here we have such takanas as well. Kad Mashmallah. And that's why he tells me the Chum were not Choshish for that, and therefore you are allowed to add as much to the Ksuba as you would like. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. Have a great day, everybody. So sorry for the Zoom problems. Thank you. Oh, thank you.